ready for two guys who can handle the truth.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
But we can. Dave Palumbo, John Romano. RxMuscle.com presents Heavy Muscle Radio. Watch out, this hour of Heavy Muscle Radio is brought to you by ALR Industries. Visit ALRIndustries.com.
Welcome, bodybuilding, fitness, and figure fans, to another exciting episode of Heavy Muscle Radio. I'm John Romano, here with my co-host and partner in crime, Dave Palumbo. We got Jeff, the producer, in the background. As always, Dave, we have just a couple of contests left in the entire season, and we're getting ready to close in on the Sacramento Pro.
Yeah, well, this was a busy weekend. I was up in Boston, Massachusetts on Halloween. Happy Halloween, everyone.
Yes, happy Halloween.
And I was up there covering Steve Weinberger's new show. He took over the running the New England District, and him and Jay Cutler ran the New England Championships, which will be occurring every fall now, and then the Jay Cutler Classic will take place every spring. So I brought the whole whack pack up there. We drove the 4 hours up in the morning, and we came back at night.
Torturing Nick the Stick the whole way.
Pretty much, yeah, yeah. We kind of busted his balls, and we it's funny because I told Steve, Weinberger had never really driven up there before. He always flies from Pittsburgh when he goes to the Jay Cutler Classic in the spring. So he had never driven up there before. And I said, Steve, when you come back, on the way back, what you got to do is you got to just leave as soon as the show's over and drive right back. Don't stop. And then there's a McDonald's rest stop like about 5 miles outside of Boston. That's where you got to go there. That's the key if you want to get home quickly. So he said, well, I got a party. You know, they're throwing a little party. I'm supposed to go out to eat. So when we left the event, and, you know, we were like the last ones out of there, and we pulled into the McDonald's rest stop. But who was there? Was Steve Weinberger.
Now, was he enjoying the McDonald's experience?
Now, this is funny because I said, Steve, what are you doing here? You said, I thought you had to go to a party. He goes, nah, I was thinking about what you were saying, and I just got the hell out of there. And I said, well, you're going to enjoy the McDonald's experience, right? Because he was with Bev and Joe Palumbo. Right. And they were like, nah, we're gonna eat in the car. I said, Steve, you got to have the McDonald's experience. And you know that you have to eat in McDonald's or it's not the same thing.
Right, right.
So he disappears and leaves. And next thing I know, we're sitting at a table and Steve's there eating. I'm like, Steve, what are you doing? I thought you were leaving. He's like, started pouring out. He goes, I can't drive and eat McDonald's, you know, with the pouring rain. So I figured I might as well eat here. So after all was said and done, he actually wound up enjoying the McDonald's experience at the first rest stop outside of Boston.
You probably know where every McDonald's is.
Pretty much.
Program them into your navigator, so
they're in there already. You know, you're the one who's usually finding them for me. You know, but yeah, it was a great show. Really, I had a good time, and we got back at a reasonable time, and it was daylight savings. Don't forget to turn your clocks back in, so we got that extra hour back anyway.
Actually, all my clocks seem to do it automatically. My cell phone and my computer. I don't pay attention to anything else. I stayed home. I took Max trick or treating.
Did you dress up?
No, he did. He was a zombie Rastafarian.
That's an interesting costume.
It's you know, his idea. And
he came up with that on his own?
Yeah. He scoured the internet for the mask, and then he found the hat with the dreadlocks, and, you know, he did his whole little thing.
It sounds like Kai Green to me.
Back pretty close. And we scoured the neighborhood, and we came home. He came home with a pillowcase that had about 15 pounds of, you know, candy.
So people were generous around here?
Yeah, you know, well, actually, they were all expecting more. And, you know, we went a little bit later in the day. We had a lot of people come to the house early. And we went out around 8 o'clock, 7:30, 8 o'clock, when we would normally go in Florida. And pretty much the streets were deserted. And people were saying that, God, you know, we were expecting more people. And they were just shoveling candy out of the bowls into his bag.
Wow.
And, you know, we got home and he sat in front of the TV and watched that new ghost hunter show that's on. Just getting scared out of his mind and eating, you know, thousands of calories worth of candy.
Sounds like he had a good Saturday evening there. Yeah, so that's not
only,
too bad.
Only a 10-year-old metabolism can do.
Right. Well, not only did we have a bunch of weekends, I should say a bunch of shows this weekend, we also covered a show in New Jersey as well, which will be going up online a little later, probably another day or so. But actually, by the time this airs, it'll probably be up. That was Rob Samborski's show out there, which I heard was very successful. Kai Greene guest posed there. Also, Jenny Lynn was making an appearance there. And the reason I mentioned Jenny Lynn is that she has officially retired, John.
She has.
And in her retirement, she has given up to forget. Well, actually, I asked her at the Olympia if she was mad at me, because I thought she was mad at me. I was critiquing her physique at one of her shows she did. She said she wasn't, but I kind of got the impression she was.
Right.
But she wrote me an email, and she told me that she was retiring, and I posted on the board. And then I asked her if she wanted to, you know, participate on the board and do a Q&A, and she said, yeah, sure. So Jenny is a part of the RX Muscle community now.
Cool.
So if you want to ask her any questions, she's in the women's celebrity Q&A section. So
awesome. What a great addition.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she's a two-time Miss Olympia. She's, I believe, a three-time Miss Figure International.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she's a legend, I guess, in the sport of figure, as
sure.
far as it goes, because no one's accomplished the feats that she's got.
Nope.
So I'm happy to have her on the board. Having said that, we also have a bunch of events coming up, John. Number one, in less than 2 weeks' time, we have the $1,000 Bros vs. Pros Battle of the Biceps, sponsored by Brutal Alchemy, between Jeff the producer and Michael Liberatore. I think he's getting a little nervous because he heard that Jimmy the Bull and Jeff the producer are training together for this challenge, and I taped them a couple days ago, and it should be going up hopefully by Monday or Tuesday, the video that is, with them doing some sick ass bicep curling.
Yeah, I think it's spreading to the rest of his body too, because Jeff stood up out of the chair before and pretty much blocked out all the light. He's getting huge.
No, I noticed his arms did get bigger from that one workout.
I think they did.
What do you agree, Jeff?
Well, you know, I'm taking pictures of people, and you know, I'm getting PMs telling me that my arms are Photoshopped now. So I guess I'm carrying around right now Photoshopped arms.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you photoshopped the picture and stuck them under your shirt sleeves.
Exactly right.
Now, Jeff was complaining a little bit because he thought he tweaked his bicep a little bit from the Pelleccia, you know, mass onslaught that he put Jeff under. But I said sometimes you get really sore from doing like something like that you're not used to, and that actually can kind of almost cause new growth to occur.
Well, I think it's the chronic overtraining that Jimmy puts himself through, and that subsequently put Jeff through. Wasn't that bicep workout like 3 hours long?
Well, yeah, but we had about 2 hours of training and about 1 hour of people stopping Jimmy, which he couldn't control because they haven't seen him in the gym.
Right,
so
yeah,
it was cool to see that, you know, like so many people excited to see him curling this crazy weight he hasn't done, and he hasn't trained in 6 months, so. But
Jimmy will always be a legend.
So Jeff's got Jimmy in his corner. He's also been taking the new Creolize product.
Yeah, you know, yes. Actually, I took my first dose the other day, and
how'd you like it?
Yeah, you know, I could feel it. I could actually feel it. The first one,
you get a little stronger. And like I said, it feels like the muscles have like this extra pump, but it's not an NO2 type pump because it's always there.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. It felt like it just stayed. Like it just blew up and stayed.
That's the reason why you want to use volumizing agents, because volumizing agents, you know, cause the muscles to swell, but 24 hours a day, not just while you're in the gym, because you're not going to get if you don't put that stretch on the muscle all the time, you're not going to get the extra growth from it.
Right. Makes sense.
That's the key. So anyway, that's going to be exciting. That's going to be the day before the Eastern USA. That's November 13th, Friday, November 13th. And that's the Battle of the Biceps. Obviously, 1 week following that will be the NPC Nationals down in Hollywood, Florida. Now, John, I'm a little confused. I don't really know my geography too well of Florida. Is Hollywood and Fort Lauderdale the same thing?
No.
Okay.
Hollywood, there's Fort Lauderdale, and then Hollywood, the airport, it's Fort Lauderdale Hollywood Airport is actually right in between the two.
Gotcha.
So as you fly in to Fort Lauderdale Hollywood Airport, to the north is Fort Lauderdale, and to the south is Hollywood, and they're both about the exact same distance from the airport. So which is just a couple of miles. It's very close. They're very, very close together. And they're separated by not only the airport but the port Everglades.
Gotcha.
So you got to cross the water, and you know, even though if you go down to the channel that separates Fort Lauderdale from Hollywood, you can literally throw a rock across it, but it takes you 20 minutes to drive there because you have to go around the whole thing.
All right. So now we're going to be in Hollywood, Florida, from what I understand.
Right.
That's where the show is, and it's shaping up to be a really, really interesting competition. You know, the heavyweight class in the men's division has always been one of the most, at least in the last 2 years, has been the most competitive. This year, it might be the super heavyweight class. I mean, we have a lot of heavy hitters in that, from Trey Brewer, Steve Kuklo, who we're going to have here on the show a little later. He placed third last year behind Ed Nunn and Gregory Atoyan, both right. who have turned pro. So he's got to be the next in line. We have Malcolm Marshall. We have Robert Bernakis, who's the guy with the 24-inch arms. Right. I mean, we have PJ Braun, who I can't forget, or he's going to kill me. Todd Jewell, yeah. who just took fourth at the North American. So we got a lot of really good competitors. I don't know if Keith Williams is doing it, but we have a lot of top-rate guys, probably 10 guys that could win that class. And I'm excited because that's the class that I always competed in, and it's good to see that class revitalized.
Yeah, there's a lot of great new talent coming up. I'm really happy to see the ranks packed the way they are these days.
And of course, you know, BSN is sponsoring all our coverage of the NPC Nationals. I know the first Trey Brewer video we put up was very, very popular, and we have another one going up very shortly in the next, probably by the time this show airs, we'll have his back workout up there, and he does some pretty insane 600-pound deadlifts right off the floor. So wow. Trey is really in, and this is 3 weeks out from the Nationals, so Trey's in, you know, really wants this pretty bad. He's a competitor. He's not one of these guys who wants to just play second. He wants to win this thing.
He's looking pretty good too. You know, I've been paying attention to the video you put up and the other pictures that we've been seeing and some of the footage that you have. He's really taken this very, very seriously, and I think he's probably ironed out some of the bugs that he's had that have plagued him in years past.
Yeah, well,
or contest past, I should say.
He's a freak. He's looking like a freak. That's it, dude. That's the bugs worked out right there.
Yep.
So BSN will be sponsoring all, like I said, all our coverage of what we do down there. We got a lot of video plan and a lot of good stuff. Let's just move on to a couple news items, John, before we get. Oh, actually, you know, I want to talk about the Sacramento Pro, yeah. which is coming up this Saturday, being promoted by John Tooman and Ted Williamson up in Sacramento, California. Now, you know, you've lived in California too, so we can talk a little bit about the geography. A lot of people don't realize that Sacramento, while being the state capital, is not really near LA.
No, not even close. Closer to San Francisco.
Right.
Than LA.
You got to take a plane for that, right?
Oh yeah. Oh, that's a good 300-400 miles from LA.
Yeah, I know. Even you know, some of the guys who live in California are planning their plane flights right now. So
it's a beautiful area. It's, you know, that's up there. You know, the sequoias and all that up there. It's a whole different, completely different feel than LA.
Now we're going to have Ralph DeHaan, who's going to be shooting that show for us. So we'll get some nice pictures from him. He's been around a long time in the industry. I know you and I are pretty good friends with him.
Yeah, we go way back.
And I'm really happy that Ralph is getting back into the. He agreed to do some contest stage shots for us.
That's awesome. Ralph is a phenomenal photographer, and he's been around forever. He knows everybody. Knows what he's doing. And you can't mistake him in his shorts and flip-flops.
Now, we're going to have a couple of roving reporters around there, too, reporting into us all day. And I think you're going to be running the Q&A, the play-by-play thread with the updates of what's going on over there. So,
yes,
coming from Sacramento. And, you know, it's funny. They just jam everything into these last couple of weekends. I'll be actually in New Jersey for Maz Ali's East Coast bodybuilding championships. I forget what town that's in, but I'll be out there for all day Saturday. And there's a couple other events occurring around the country. So we've been covering a lot of shows. If you check out the RX Muscle Contest page, and you can see all the new shows we've put up. You know, we have a very big coverage now in Michigan, if you've noticed.
Yes.
Jeff Saigo has been doing a great job for us there, and the Michigan people have been sending me droves of emails thanking us for all that coverage.
Yeah, it's looked pretty good. It seems like we have a good smattering of correspondents almost across the entire country, because we're getting shows now all over the country. You know, every weekend there's 2, 3, 4 shows going on.
Yeah.
And we're able to get coverage, and you know, it's just we have become, RX Muscle has become the place to stop and see pictures of competitors and get the contest updates, and really just become the full service news source for all competitions all over the country.
I mean, it's really good. I think the community is appreciating it. We got Jay Cutler's guest posing video up. I had it up while I was driving back in the car. I was putting it up. So
I was wondering if you may have glommed that from like last year or something. No. Because it was up so fast.
Yeah, we got it up very fast. And of course, we got the interviews with some of the winners up as well. And some of them are really, really entertaining. This guy, Sofan Nim, who won the overall there, is a character. Jeff, he scared the shit out of me. He was screaming so loud.
Well, I think he was about to kick your ass because like he dropped down into like a karate pose. And yeah, she did like a Jimmy Pledge.
He was like,
and so I was like, what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah, what do you call the version of the? He does my diet, but he has a version of what does he call it?
He calls it Jeet Kune Do, which is Bruce Lee's style.
He was a character. The guy was so psyched that he won, and he was thinking about retiring after the show, so he thinks that this is, he's going to retire on a high note here, I guess.
Well, that's good.
And some of the women, we had some beautiful women up there. Donna Shea won the figure overall. We were just watching her video before.
Yeah.
She's has three kids and she's really smoking hot. I mean,
not a stretch mark on that smoking hot body either, man.
And Tiana Ta, who happens to look a lot like Keanu Tom, I can't believe I got that
right
from the old body shaping days, won the figure the bikini overall. And I guarantee you this girl's going to come home with a pro card at the Nationals.
She was a little
smoking.
Pistol.
Yeah. So there was, I really enjoyed that. Whenever I go up to Boston, I always have a good time. The competition is always very, very good. And, I think that Weinberger and Jay Cutler are doing a great job putting this second show on.
Well, I'm glad they're doing it together, too.
Now, one funny story before we get to Sacramento. I know we got a little diverted here. Yeah. When I was driving up at 6 in the morning, or 5:30 in the morning, whatever it does, up to Boston with Big Sean Andros, Jeff the producer, and Nick the Stick, we stopped at a rest stop to do a little, we had to take a bathroom break. You know, Sean doesn't want to stop until we hit like the halfway point. My bladder was ready to explode. Because, I drank my fiber before I left. I had a couple glasses of water. And it's funny, when you're on the Merritt Parkway, it's not like the 90, it's not like I-95. The rest stops are like these little small, like dingy places.
Right.
There was like this like tent set up with like this Indian woman, like, you know, native Indian woman, serving refreshments. Now, they weren't charging for them. There was like bagels and donuts and hot dogs and fresh coffee. And, you know, if you wanted to put a donation in, you put a donation, which of course, I gave a donation and I took a bagel. And Sean Andrews would not eat anything from the place. like as if they were going to like poison us. You know, he's got like one of these very like, very pessimistic views of human nature, you know. So, but you would have loved it, John.
I just passed him. He's moving in downstairs.
I know. He's moving into my apartment downstairs. Louis downstairs is moving back with his wife. So
we just need Jeff in the neighborhood, and then we got everybody.
Yeah, yeah. The scary part is that everyone's living in my houses, which is, I don't know if that's good or bad. Or, you know,
it's Israeli sink or swim, Dave.
Yeah, exactly right. We're either going to the top or we're going right down to the fucking hell.
And we're all going together.
That's right. At least we'll have fun. Yeah. All right, let's get back to the SAC Pro because that's going to be the last pro event of the year. They kind of added it on at the last minute, but knowing John Tooman, it'll probably be a quality event. Tony Freeman has thrown his name into that whole hat there, and seems to, at least on paper, be the favorite. You know, now, I haven't really been working with Tony this year at all, except for the Arnold, and you know, at the Olympia, I thought he was a little off, you know. He still managed eighth, but he could have been a little tighter. I'm sure he's pissed off about that, and he's coming in here, he says, to win this show. What do you think?
You know, Tony is one of those guys that's just got to be shredded, you know. And the difference between his physique, shredded and not shredded, is just night and day. So, it's going to boil down to his condition. If his condition is spot on and he's shredded, he could, in this lineup, he could easily win.
That's what I said. I agree with you 100%. If Tony comes in 100%, no one even touches him in this lineup.
No, not even close.
I mean, it's not even close. No, but you know what? You got a guy like Mark Dugdale who comes in here. You know, he was off the he was in the 202 class all year long, and now he decides, you know what? I'm going to throw my hat into this ring and see what I can do as an open competitor, maybe qualify for the Olympia. You know, he comes in 10 pounds heavier, maybe 212, 215. he can be trouble. He can be trouble if he comes in with his striated glutes. You know, he can beat a Tony Freeman if Tony's out of shape.
There's a couple of guys in here that could be trouble, but, you know, they really got to be. I mean, Darren Charles, if he's been slipping a little bit lately, but if he looks at this and takes this show very seriously and comes back the way he's been in years past, you know, you could be looking. He could be trouble. But
well, Jaron Charles just beat Tony Freeman last year at the Atlantic City right before Tony went on to that fifth place at the Olympia in 2008. So, sure, Darren is definitely a guy who could win this event. We haven't seen him in the shape we'd like to see him in the whole year, but maybe he's pissed off. He doesn't like the way he made his last showing at the Olympia. He was really off, I thought. He said he had tried something new to come in a little bigger, and it didn't work for him. So, if he comes in shape, without a doubt, you know, Darren can win this show. Like I said, I really believe the onus is on Tony Freeman.
Right.
Does he come in shape or does he not come in shape?
No, I like this guy, Robert Petrokowicz. If he in shape, this guy's got everything. I haven't seen him really do as well as I think he's capable of doing. I mean, the guy can be striated from head to toe. What do you think?
Petrokowicz, he's from Poland, has definitely been moving up the ranks in terms of placements. And you know what? He does have a really freaky looking physique. He's got tons of muscle. He's shredded. His waist is a little blocky, a little bit, not terribly. He could definitely be a top three finisher. I don't see him winning this show, but I see a top three possibility, depending on how some of these other guys come in. You got Ed Nunn also trying to enter this mix here and see how he can if he can get an early qualification for next year's Olympia. I guess the litmus test with Nunn is going to be, has he put on the muscle he needs, or is he still going to look a little small for a pro?
Yeah, and whether or not Petrokowicz uses Dream Tan or not.
Well, yeah, Petrokowicz, he's one of these physiques, and I compare him to someone like my, now he was better than me, but someone like myself, that if he's 100% on, and which he usually always is,
right.
And some of these guys are a little off, the real good shape guys, like the Freemans and the Darren Charles, Petrokowicz beats these guys.
Yeah.
Because of the fact that he's got that freaky mass and that great conditioning. But guys like Ed Nunn, you know, who the last couple times I've seen him come in, he's been 100% on the mark as far as conditioning goes. People have criticized him a little bit for his lack of muscularity. That's going to remain to be seen. I don't think that Hani would let him come into a show if he wasn't at his best. So I think they're trying to maybe snag an early Olympia qualification here because the lineup is not that tough. As far as I'm concerned, you got Freeman, Doug Dale, Petrokowicz, Darren Charles, and that's really it. Then you got guys like, you know, your second tier guys. You got your Chris Dim, who could always be dangerous. Martin Kellstrom, who's probably going to be the biggest, freakiest, hardest guy in the show,
right.
Is always dangerous. He snagged an Olympia qualification last year at a late show. In the United States, he hasn't done that well because they don't seem to like his shape that much.
Right. What about Craig Richardson, New Jersey boy? He's got incredible potential, this kid.
Craig's problem is that Craig could probably be a top six Mr. Olympia if he ever applied himself like he does when he's getting ready for a show in the off season. He just doesn't pack the mass on that he needs when he's not preparing for a competition. It seems like he just kind of drifts, and then right before a show, he pushes as hard as he can and gets himself. He trains hard, eats right, and actually puts on muscle going into the show, which that tells you that, you know, the guy's not doing his homework in the off season. Can he snag a top five here? Without a doubt, he's got the structures for it. Will he? We got to see which Craig Richardson shows up.
Yeah, it's a lot of, you know, as you always say, Dave, and you know, I agree. It's condition. It comes down to condition, and this entire list that we read off, it could shake up any which way depending on the condition these guys bring in, because all of the physiques there are world class. It just matters who's going to be in shape.
Well, there's also a lot of dark horse, you know, people in these in this lineup. It's a pretty stacked lineup. There's about another 5 or 10 people in there that could also, you know, come out of nowhere and do well. I'm pulling out the obvious favorites. That's not to say that someone else won't show up and do something. We'll have to. That'll remain to be seen. Anyone who wants to follow all the action that's going on Saturday, November 7th, should check out the RX Muscle forums, and John will be running that play by play while I'm in New Jersey.
Absolutely.
Okay, let's move on to some more news.
It's time for the news on Heavy Muscle Radio.
I, I wanted to mention something because every Saturday, Sunday after we tape the show, we go out to eat usually, and I've been bringing my dad out for you know many for a couple of years now, and Jeff's been. Has the I guess the honor of coming out to dinner with my father and I a lot, and I took you and Max last week with to the buffet.
Yeah,
and I, you know, I've been telling these stories about my father eating crab legs at the buffet, and,
yep.
and I don't think any of you guys really believe me until you saw him in action last week. It was popping those crab legs up, and actually Max was eating a few crab legs himself.
Yeah, he was, but you gotta watch Max's imitation of him dodging the crab pieces flying off your father.
Oh, they go everywhere. They're like missiles.
They were actually going behind him.
Yeah, I don't know how he does it. Juices are flowing
over
flowing
his everywhere. Head.
Yeah. My father looks like he got out of Vietnam after he leaves the buffet. And it's funny because he thinks he developed this technique. He uses he doesn't know how to use chopsticks, my brother. He always has to yell at the waiter to bring him a fork as if like he's being discriminated against in some way because they're giving him chopsticks. But he doesn't want them to take the chopsticks away because he uses the chopsticks to push the meat out of the crab legs. And I noticed Max adopted the same technique.
They were partners over there at the other end of the table.
Yeah.
So quite a mess.
We might head over there a little later today as my father is feeling better, but it's always a show to see him eating those crab legs.
Yeah, but it's nice to see him out and feeling good and hanging out with the guys.
Yeah, I think when he hangs out with the guys, all his aches and pains go away. So some of it's got to be psychological. Now, did you see this thing we were talking about last week about the video game rage guy?
Yeah.
I talked about it on, I think, After Hours, where this kid was playing, and I didn't know what it was, FIFA. It turns out it's pronounced FIFA. And it's the Football International Football Association, or the Federation, the International Federation of Football Association, and that's soccer. It's right. Soccer in Europe. So they have a video game where these kids play, and I guess this kid got all freaked out because his brother kept kicking his ass in the game, and he went out and he chopped some woman up in her house. People are just sick, man. And someone sent me an email and clarified this to me. His name is Amos Bonsall. I think I pronounced his name right. And I just want to say thank you because we have a lot of listeners, Sean, who listen to the show so religiously that if we don't know something, they go look it up, and they're always sending me these little factoids. And, you know, I appreciate it.
Yeah. We stand corrected, mostly me, stand corrected almost every week with something. And I'm, you know, I don't take it personally. I'm glad that we have a great listenership out there that handles that for us. You know, we misstate something and boom, within minutes we have an email or a thread or something posted to, you know, correcting us. So you guys keep paying attention and keep correcting us.
That's right. Yeah, I'm always willing to be corrected. I like to be very accurate in what I do. Matter of fact, I was up last night, you know, about 5 a.m. putting up like one of the interviews, and I was probably delirious that I put 2000 instead of 2009, you know, NPC.
Well, sometimes you hit the wrong, you know, the 9 and the 0 are right next to
it. I was in another world. But sweet Caprice, she corrected me. So thank you for that. Now, there was another very interesting news story that I wanted to mention because I don't even know why I always seem to fixate on these weird stories. They just, my eyes draw to them. I don't know what's going on with the Pope, but I know what's going on with this Dutch woman who went to the hospital with severe stomach pains, John. They x-rayed her. She had swallowed like 3 forks and like 4 spoons in her stomach.
Was it she one of those big fat ladies that goes to the buffet, you know?
No, just... I think that she's like one of these nutcases that just likes to swallow fucking silverware. I don't know. There are people who, do you know that? There are people who eat.
One of those? I mean, there's more?
There are people who eat things, like inanimate objects that are not digestible for some reason.
I never heard of this shit.
Yeah, there's some kind of disease. I'm sure one of our listeners will tell us what it is. It's a disease where they eat, like, silverware and metal objects. Have you ever heard of this?
Now, as she's eating knives and forks, is she contemplating the bowel movement the next day? Or is that, like, not an
exact... It doesn't come out, I don't think. It gets stuck in there. Nothing gets stuck in there.
Hockey ball comes out with the fork stuck.
You can't get a fork out of your ass.
Talk about roughage.
I knew a guy who used to eat light bulbs.
Hey, you ever see that?
Yeah, I heard these
guys crunch the light bulbs.
At least he crunches it up. Yeah, they were these guys that they're sick guys. They want to just show you how fucking tough they are, and they'll actually eat a light bulb.
Well, you know, you ever hear those stories of the guys eating barbed wire? They're so tough.
Chickens I've never seen.
Spoons in night. Me neither. I'm just a euphemism. But this chick is actually eating silverware.
The actual disease, I'm looking it up, is known as pica, P-I-C-A. It's a disease where you eat weird objects. Some people eat dirt. You ever see that? They'll actually eat the dirt in their backyard.
Yeah, but dirt is different because it has something in there. It's like nutrients or something.
It does?
A fork? Well, sure, because it's soil, isn't it?
Well, I don't know.
I mean, soil makes more sense to me than eating a fucking fork.
Well, you know, a lot of people when they're, you know, one and two eat dirt.
Yeah, but what about when they're like 46?
Then it becomes a problem.
Yeah, but there are people that eat these weird. I this is something new. I never heard of this. I didn't realize that. But you ever see these people that cut each other? They cut themselves.
I've seen. Yeah, my ex Shelly, who is no longer with us, was into
she was a cutter.
Yeah, she was in one of her issues was what I forget what they call that. She used to cut herself. She's
a cutter.
Yeah, very very fine, nicely designed little scars she used to carve into herself.
Don't they usually do it in the same place?
Yeah, she used to either do it on her ankle or her wrist.
Very strange. There's always people that do very weird things. But this woman, when they told her what happened, you know, how would you get a fork? And I guess you have to operate to get that out of your stomach.
But I mean, as she's swallowing it, doesn't she think how it's going to come out? I mean, does she actually think she's going to shit a fork out?
I don't know. I don't understand how these people.
I want to interview her. Let's get her on the show.
Yeah, we should get her on. She'll fit right in with some of the wackos that we'll have her
on a Whack Pack show. Yeah. She'd fit right in. Her and Derek Anthony.
Yeah.
Yeah. That could be Derek's first guest.
You call me a fucking pica? Go fuck yourself, you Guido Cajun fuck.
That could be Derek's first guest on Derek's show.
That's true. That could be his first guest on his new 30
minute show. I'd like to know how you swallowed a fucking fork, you sick fucking bitch.
Speaking of the Whack Pack shows, Diego was not at the after hour show last week, and I think he's been really hurting from the diet. He sent me some pictures today. Where has he been? Have you heard anything from him, John?
No, I haven't. I think maybe he's been complaining lately about the drive and the extra time it takes to find a parking spot.
Well, he's looking for sponsors, isn't he?
Yeah, and you know, looking for sponsors, and I'm wondering. I don't know.
It's too much for me to come to this house every week and have to sit down for 1 hour and say two or three things while Mr. Jeff makes fun of me, and I do not bring food, and I'm ridiculed, and I'm going to win the Eastern twice.
Yeah, he's going to be doing the Eastern USA, John, in less than 2 weeks.
Yeah,
so
he is.
We'll finally see if he can put up or shut up because...
What do you mean twice, Diego?
Because I'm going to take first the novice, then the open.
You're doing both divisions.
And if there's a third division, I'll do this one too.
Yeah, maybe you could do the teen division or the masters
or the women.
I'm wondering why his facial features are becoming so many much more pronounced. It looks like his forehead and his ears are growing.
Yeah, now his head definitely got bigger, but I don't think it's his head got bigger. I think the rest of him just got a little smaller. So
because this is where the ketones go.
You know, he's got that Indian blood in him. You know, the Aztec or the Mayan Indian blood. You know, from Colombia there.
I don't know why he comes here. He just drives down. He complains about the drive. He sits and eats, complains about that, and then leaves.
Mr. John, you're saying you do not like my presence here?
Well, you used to bring food. You used to have a purpose.
I will bring you food. You just asked for it. I don't remember. You did not ask me. You make fun of my ears.
No. You said no more food.
Not for these fucks, but for you, I bring you.
You know, he can't eat the food now. That's the problem.
I guess the smell of it in the car must kill him.
He's dying.
Yeah.
But, well, we're going to see. Like I said, the next 2 weeks, we got a lot of fun stuff happening. Diego will be on stage at the Eastern USA. The Battle of the Biceps, once again, will take place Friday, November 13th. Eastern USA will be the day after on the 14th. Nationals the following week. We got a lot planned. Right now, we got to go to a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to have our first guest.
All right. See you in 2.
This is Heavy Muscle Radio, only on RxMuscle.com. ALR Industries. ALR Industries products are backed by 3 decades of experience in the science and lifelong dedication to bodybuilding from its founder, Arthur L. Ray. In 2001, ALR Industries was created to give the hardcore bodybuilder the edge you need to build the perfect beast. Hyperdrive 3.0 is a synergistic blend of fat-burning herbs which yields the most potent legally available formula on the market today. Hyperdrive 3.0 will burn fat, control your appetite, improve your mood and focus, and give you an energy boost you've never experienced. Restore blocks estrogen, enhances libido, and optimizes free testosterone. You'll be stronger, recover faster, and build muscle like never before. Then, fuel your workouts with the great-tasting and energy-enhancing Hyper Shot. Hyper Shot will boost your athletic performance to new levels, allowing you to train harder, improve your endurance, and get the most out of your time in the gym. Whining is not an option for those who refuse to accept mediocrity. Visit ALRIndustries.com today. When you hit the gym, you set in motion a fundamental set of molecular activation signals and cellular growth mechanisms that deliver your desired gains in mass and strength. The magnitude of those processes, as well as how efficiently your muscles recover force production, can dramatically affect your net progress in a training cycle. Progenics protein supplements interact precisely and powerfully to amplify these pathways to produce enhanced growth responses of 100% or more compared to conventional whey protein sources. And they facilitate full recovery of force production in just 6 hours following the most grueling workout, allowing you to train harder, more frequently, for more dramatic gains. Experience the exclusive metabolic advantage available from Nature's Toolbox and Dr. Scott Connolly, renowned pioneer in applied dairy science and inventor of the original Metrex product. Go to ProgenicsSRG.com and use the code NBR801 to get 10% off the purchase of any single Progenics product.
When the world crumbles around you, will you be ready to fight back? Brutal Alchemy Performance Nutrition's unique line of supplements will help you win the war in the gym. Ancient Strength is a unique blend of 3 creatine esters which will infuse you with the ancient strength needed for the battle at hand. Isolation is a pure whey protein isolate that provides 26 grams of protein in every 29 gram scoop. Attack NO2 is Brutal Alchemy's nitric oxide booster that will increase your pumps and performance. After your battle in the gym, it's time for Onslaught, Brutal Alchemy's comprehensive post-workout drink, providing everything you need to suffuse your muscles, joints, and body with the components to heal, grow stronger, and return to the fray. And when it's time to conquer in the bedroom, you'll need Forged Steel, Brutal Alchemy's male enhancement product. Lead the charge to BrutalAlchemy.com to obtain the essential elements of your brutal transformation. Brutal Alchemy, it's better to be a member of the Horde than to be destroyed by it. German American Technologies. Compete harder with GATT supplements. Need energy? Gotta lose the fat? Jet Fuel is the answer. Want to build muscle? Use Testogen to ramp up testosterone and start adding the size. How about some muscle exploding pumps and an enhanced training experience? You gotta get your hands on some Jet Fuel. Jet Fuel, GATT's newest nitric oxide training supplement that's guaranteed to work the second you try it. Join the team. Visit German American Technologies website now at TeamGAT.com. That's TeamGAT.com. German American Technologies. Compete harder. TeamGAT.com.
Get in D-Mix. That's D-Mix, the world's first energy pump that combines the most essential nutritional elements for overall health with efficiency. Cool and easy to use, D-Mix is the most powerful and unique multivitamin antioxidant energy formula on the market. D-Mix is a nutritional wonder that lasts up to 4 days. D-Mix is available in 3 delicious flavors: coffee, mint, and punch. Each flavor is designed to be taken on its own or added to other beverages. D-Mix, don't drink, just pump. Healthy energy.
Who are the Iron Sirens? The heroes: Susie Curry, Adela Garcia, Jenny Lynn, Crystal Richardson. Who are the Dark Divas? Gina Aliotti as Diva X, Jen Gates as Shade, Liza Kamstra as Black Lotus, Sonia Gonzalez as Raptress, and their story is told only in Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens is a one-of-a-kind, limited-edition comic book series and is the brainchild of J.M. Mannion. Order your copy of Iron Sirens today before they're gone. Visit IronSirensComics.com. That's IronSirensComics.com to get your copy of Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens. RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com. Heavy Muscle Radio.
Hi, this is Lou Ferrigno of Incredible Hulk. You are listening to Heavy Muscle Radio with John Romano and Dave Palumbo. And keep listening, the best show on the air.
This hour of Heavy Muscle Radio is brought to you by ALR Industries. Visit ALRIndustries.com.
All right, our next guest is a two-time teen national heavyweight champ. Just last year, he placed third at the super heavyweight class at the NPC Nationals. I'd like to welcome Steve Kukla to the show.
What's going on, guys?
How are you? I hear you're in the firehouse today, huh?
Yeah. I'm working today. Not too many days left. I kind of got lucky and scheduled a few days off before my show, and I'm actually going to pay somebody to work for me a day, so I kind of get a little break before the show, but this is one of the last shifts, and I'm on the ambulance today, so...
And the ambulance sounds like it's a busier shift than just the fire or patrol, huh?
Yeah. I ride one of the busiest ambulances in the city. So, I mean, we average anywhere from 15 to 20 calls a shift.
Wow. Now, you're in Dallas, right?
Yeah, I work for Dallas Fire.
Oh. Do you work 24 on, 48 off?
Yep. I work 24 on, 48 hours off.
Do you get a Kelly week a month?
Yeah, we get about four or five shifts a year where it ends up being an extra day that they end up giving you it off. So it's just that Kelly day, like you said.
What's the freaks of Kelly day? What are you, Irish all of a sudden, John?
Kelly week is where you get a week off.
Not necessarily. I mean, if you get a day off, you get 5 days off with that kind of schedule. So it is really nice, especially for the sport that we love so much, you know, and it definitely allows me to pursue a career in the sport, so it works out really well.
How do you work around that the 24 hours that you are working? I mean, obviously you can't go to the gym, but do you guys have a gym in the firehouse?
Most stations have at least cardio equipment, you know, and the way I've done it since I've been on shift is, you know, I work out the days I'm off with weights and everything, and then I take the day off weights that I work, and I'll attempt to do cardio, you know, maybe split up into 15-minute increments or half hour, just depends if we get runs or not, but it works out, you know. Most stations, I think it's like a requirement that they have workout equipment just due to keep the... the health of firefighters.
Oh, that's good. That at least is one agency of the government that actually thinks that health is important.
You're thinking of federal prison, Dave.
No, yeah. I think federal prisoners are taken better care of than government employees. No,
they're the ones that don't have the weights anymore.
Well, they have. You ever see the cardio equipment in some of these federal places?
As it breaks, they don't replace it.
Yeah, well, the cardio they do. Now, Steve, you're one of a new breed of young bodybuilders to kind of storm onto the scene lately. You started your career off, up in Michigan where you're from. I understand you won a couple teen titles up there, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I worked with my training partner at the time was Justin Harris. You know, a lot of them know Troponin Nutrition, sure, all that stuff, you know, and Justin and I go way back, and we end up competing in my first about three or four shows together, and they were the Mr. Michigan and stuff, and he ended up, you know, a lot of people I trained with at the gym were like, you should do team nationals, you know, and I had no, you know, even knew really what it was, and I was I just fell in love with the sport after the first show I competed in, and after that, I went on and did really well, and you know, just worked my tail off and had a good kind of mentor behind me to kind of guide me and teach me a few things that, you know, like the sport's a continuing learning experience, and it's just been awesome.
How did that first teen national experience go for you? I mean, that was in 2004. I think Jason Huh won the overall at that show in the light heavyweight class. Ironically enough, you'll be competing against him probably at the Nationals in a couple weeks. How was the first experience there? I mean, because you were only 18 at the time, right?
Yep. I was. I just turned 18, or I was 18. And it kind of was like one of those deals where I was like, I don't know if I'm ready, or, you know, am I, should I do it? And I said, you know, what the heck, let's do it. And stepping on stage with those guys was, you know, a whole nother level, obviously, from the state show as it is any national show. And seeing guys like Jason Hunt and a few others that are actually competing on, you know, the national USA stage now, it's kind of cool, you know, and it really was an eye opener and kind of really gave me a drive to want to go to the next level instead of just competing here and there and just doing it as a hobby, but making more of a career out of things.
Well, you know, you returned the next year in 2005 to the Teen Nationals again, and once again you won the super heavyweight class. You beat Trey Brewer, who took third, and Matt Berzicott, who took second. And you took the you lost the overall to Gerald Williams, who's the light heavyweight. Tell us about that experience.
You know, that show, I definitely was way more focused on, not necessarily in an aspect of, you know, not knowing what I'm doing or whatever, but just like, you know, I knew I wanted to do that show. It was, you know, I got just a little taste of how it was to be on the national stage, and I was like, you know, the next year I definitely want it, you know, being another year older and, you know, second year competing, and I was really excited to do the show. And you know, just, I mean, when I won the heavyweights again, knowing, you know, I went against some great guys, like you said, Matt and Trey, and, you know, I was thrilled at that point, you know, with then going up for the overall and, you know, losing the overall, but you know, it was a battle, and it was fun, you know, and it gives me motivation to push myself to kind of, you know, come back the following year and kick some butt, you know.
Were you still young enough to, you know, to chalk it up and let it slide, or were you really upset that you lost the overall for a second year in a row?
I had no regrets. I can't say, you know, God, if I did this, or, you know, if, you know, he looked a little bit better that day, or whatever the judges thought, you know, that's what it was. You know, by no means was I upset. You know, he's an incredible competitor, like I said, kind of gave me motivation to train harder and get ready for the following year. You know, I just use that as a learning experience, you know, and I still am learning my body, you know, so.
You know, ironically, after 2005, I, at least in my mind, I didn't know what happened to you. You kind of disappeared. I don't know if you were doing some local shows. But then in 2007, we saw you surface and you placed eighth at the North American. How was the transition from teens? Because a lot of guys have trouble making that transition from the teens to the open men's category.
You know, Justin and I talked about it, you know, when I was in Michigan, as far as, you know, what should I do? And, you know, I didn't necessarily want to just jump headfirst into the nationals from a teen aspect, being, you know, 19, 20 years old and going against guys that are, you know, 30s and you know, got 40 pounds of muscle on me. You know, I kind of wanted to at least come out looking halfway presentable and like I could be a prospect or a contender. And in 2006, I did the Motor City show that was like a tri-state show, you know, and it really, it was in conjunction with the IFBB figure at the time. It was like the first year they did it, and I just turned 20, actually the day of the show, and I ended up winning the super heavy in the overall of that show at 20.
That's good. That's not too bad.
You know, and then at that point I felt, you know, I put on a ridiculous amount of muscle. I put on like 30 pounds of muscle or something in an off season. It was just, you know, I was like, geez. And then I went from like 210, I competed at like 240 at that show or something. I was like, holy crap. But, you know, it really got, you know, I felt a bit of confidence come upon me to go ahead and say, you know, okay, I'm ready to at least give a national show a shot. And that's when I decided to go on to the North Americans in 2007. You know, it was in the transition of me moving, and you know, I'm not going to give a bunch of excuses, you know, but I really wasn't focused enough on that prep and show to do as good as I should, you know, to myself. You know, I knew I could have did a few other things and you know, may have spent a little more time with prep and stuff like that, but you know, again, it's just a learning experience, and you know, got me motivated to get ready for that, the 08 Nationals, which I, you know, came out and got third, and I was it was just put me on cloud nine, and I couldn't believe it, you know, going against those guys and doing well. So
yeah, well, let's talk about that. I mean, that was really, you know, last year was really kind of like your breakout year of sorts. You pretty much shocked us all. You beat Trey Brewer again, Malcolm Marshall, Kirk DeFrancesco. You took third at the NPC Nationals. How did it feel then, after all that, to establish yourself as the third best amateur bodybuilder in the country, right behind Ed Nunn and Grigori Atoyan?
It was you know, after I'd say like 2006, and you know, I really start following the sport and the guys, the top guys on the national level, you know, not just necessarily the pros, but who's like the guys in the USA's Nationals that are, you know, that are top guys, you know, and I kind of, you know, watched how they placed and their physique and how they changed every year. It really, and you know, getting on stage with those guys, it was kind of like guys you kind of look up to, and I was like, man, you know, am I a you know, little fish in a big pond here or what, you know? And I was, you know, I kind of was somewhat, some people called a dark horse that didn't really know me so well, but some did. And you know, I've had little write-ups here and there in some magazines, and but definitely placing third was definitely a dream come true, and you know, doing well and getting recognized for hard work and stuff, you know. And you know, my family's always been there to kind of support me, and my dad, you know, he's always been a ball buster for me. So he said, you know, he's like, well, why didn't you win? You know, and I'm like, well, Dad, you gotta understand, you know, I've won the sport. Definitely, you progress over time, and you know, and those guys, you know, were better than me at the time. But you know, top 10 at Nationals is what I tell people is an incredible achievement, because you have the best bodybuilders in the country, like you said.
But people don't understand. They think, like, if you win, like, the Motor City, like, they're more impressed than if you come in third at the Nationals, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, oh, yeah. A local show, like, you know, you ask somebody in a gym that kind of knows a little bit about bodybuilding, Razor Flex here and there, you know, and say, like, the Texas State show, you know, they're like, yeah, I know that guy that won Texas State, you know, he's, like, the best bodybuilder I know, you know. But then there's a guy that placed, you know, top 10 at Nationals USA for 5 years, and they're like, who's that guy, you know?
So, right.
Yeah, most people don't really know, but people that follow sport like you guys and a lot of people online and stuff, you know, definitely know the difference and what it takes to be a top guy.
John, I get the most accolades from all the people around here. When I had to requalify and I won the Metropolitans in 2000, like, I've been placing, you know, top five at the Nationals for like 5 years before that. No one cared,
because it's a win.
Going back, Dave, you know, I followed the sport for, you know, back in like early 2000s, 2001, you know. Yeah. I went to a lot of the Michigan shows, and I remember you guest posed at a Michigan show, and I remember seeing you, you know. I don't think I had talked to you, but I was like, holy crap, this guy's a freak, you know. I mean, you were 290, just jacked, you know, and I was like, you know, everybody's like, so I very much remember, you know, you guest posing at a Michigan show back in the day.
How demoralizing that must be to like a 20-year-old kid, you know, trying to win the Nationals, and they see 290-pound, veiny, shredded Dave Palumbo can't win, you know, and then you're just trying to climb up the ladder.
So that was pretty neat.
Well, now, according to last year's placings, so I won't even touch that, John. According to last year's placings, see,
you had to requalify.
You had to requalify. You know, they told me afterwards, like, oh, you didn't really have to do it. But meanwhile, I brought 30 people to the show, so you didn't want to lose ticket sales.
Right.
But anyway, Steve, you're kind of like next in the line in that super heavyweight class. I mean, because Grigori Atoyan turned pro at the USA this past year. Nunn won the Nationals last year.
Right.
Trey Brewer, you've beaten twice already, once at the Teen Nats and last year at the Nationals. You beat Malcolm Marshall. You'll be facing Robert Brnaka, who you have never seen, Abbas Katami, who won the North Americans. You got Todd Jewell, who's moving up the ladder. How do you think you're going to stack up against this new lineup come 3 weeks from today?
I'm definitely, you know, I got to bring my A game. And, you know, a lot of people ask me, you know, who do you think your toughest competitor is? And you know, all those guys are, you know, best in the world. I mean, they're the top guys in the amateur ranks, and, you know, could definitely make a great pros. And, you know, I just look at myself as my hardest competitor because of, you know, just the challenge of every day and training day in and day out as being the hardest, toughest competitor, you know. So I feel, you know, I know what I need to do. You know, a lot of people, I just need to bring my conditioning better, and I'm not going to give them an excuse that, you know, my conditioning wasn't there this year. You know, I'm definitely busting my butt and, you know, and want it bad. So, you know, I'm real hungry for it, and I'm not going to, you know, I'm gonna have no regrets. It's not, you know, God, if I was a little bit tighter, a little bit this or that, so...
How much have you gained a lot of muscle in the last year? So what can we expect to see on stage, body weight wise?
Yeah, you know, this year, you know, I really focused on kind of bringing up some upper body stuff. You know I had to manage my legs a little better, but you know, I still train legs like an animal. And you know, a lot of people see I post YouTube clips kind of prior to this prep. It's 12 weeks out, and I took some recently too, as far as, you know, a lot of leg training stuff and upper body here and there. But you know, definitely focused on bringing up my upper body, and I've, you know, according to calipers and stuff, you know, it was anywhere from like 10 to 12 pounds of lean muscle that I put on since last year. And you know, but I know I, you know, weight's just a total, you know, a mind game. So, you know, I may come in a little bit less than I weighed last year, but a whole lot harder. You know, so, and I think that's what's going to happen, and but it's going to be a whole lot better quality muscle, you know, another year of muscle maturity, and so.
Now, you probably your biggest fan, at least last year was, because I was sitting next to her, was your mom.
I was going to bring that up. That's funny you say it.
Your mom was very very vocal. Vociferous last year.
She's the greatest woman I know. You know, she would give the shit off her back for anybody, you know, and cook them a hot meal off the street. You know, just, she's that kind of lady, you know, and then she make it mandatory that they have a shot of Crown, because he's loves to have a good time, you know. My family's always been there supporting me through you know, thick and thin, and every decision I've made in life, and definitely with competing. I played hockey and football growing up, and they were at every single game, no matter where it was or what. And you know, they will be at Nationals. I'm at, you know, my aunt's going, my mother, my father, my cousin. My wife Amy's going to be there. I mean, so it's really going to be, you know, my family's going to be there, and we're looking forward to having a good time.
Oh, they were having a ball. I had a great time just sitting with your family, because it was just, it was like they were having like, it was like a tailgate party, John, in the auditorium. Yeah, you know,
it was. It could be in an audience of 20,000 people at, you know, New York Stadium, whatever, Cowboy Stadium, and you will hear my mouth for about 20,000 people. She's very loud.
God bless her. Now how old are you, Steve?
How old am I?
Yeah.
I turned 24 this past August. Actually, the Europa weekend, I turned 24.
So you're freshly 24 and you're married?
Yes. Wow. Yeah, I'm a youngin. Really? I got hooked.
You don't really see that, you know, a lot these days, you know, young guys like you, especially in this business, getting married. How's married life treating you?
Married life's treating me, you know, well. You know, Amy and I met about 3.5 years ago, and at the Motor City, actually, you know, when we talked, and then we visited, it just progressed from there. We talked a whole lot every day, led to seeing each other, flying back and forth from Detroit to Dallas, and, you know, once or twice a month. And, you know, I was finishing school to become a paramedic firefighter up in Michigan, and obviously the economy is no good there, and it's a lot better here. And I found a job down here, where, you know, with Dallas Fire Department. It took me about 8 months to eventually get hired, and I did, and decided that the better move was me coming down here. And, you know, living together for about a year and a half about 2 years before we decided to get married. So, you know, it wasn't like a move in, get married real quick. You know, we spent a lot of time together, and, you know, it works out really well having somebody that competes, understands you, and, you know, going through hard times. So
that's true.
Mazel tov, right, John?
Not in our world, bro.
Hey, Amy's a great girl. I know Amy for a long time, probably longer than you do.
Yeah, that's funny, because when she said that you were trying to get a hold of me with get my number, and you called or texted her saying, "You got Steve's number?"
Exactly.
Like, no, I don't have Steve's number.
That's funny.
No, yeah, I know Amy from back from when I used to go to Dallas, John, a lot, do a lot of appearances there. in the early like 2000s, and Amy was always like, you know, orchestrating all the parties there, after parties, and she was always at all the shows. Texas is a great group of bodybuilders there. It's like a really close knit bunch of people, and that's why the competitions are always stacked and the audience is always sold out. You never see a Texas show that doesn't have at least 100 people in it.
Ryan Dobson, who throws on the Ronnie Coleman show, I guest posed there this year, kind of a last minute deal. And I mean, he makes a killing at that show. But I mean, it sold out. There's probably a couple thousand people there. It's incredible. So
I emceed that show. It was a big party. He had a live band playing to warm the place up, and it was incredible.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And there is a real good following of bodybuilding here, and having a lot of good competitors down here. You know, a lot of good pros, Branch and Johnny, and a lot of the lot of 202 guys down here, and a lot of even up and coming kind of national guys.
Ronnie Coleman,
pretty cool. Ronnie Coleman too.
Ronnie Coleman.
Now, Ronnie Coleman's no afterthought.
Yeah, leave him out.
Now you're training at the new Metroflex gym, right? Greg McCoy's place?
Yeah. Greg and I, we've been training together since I moved over there. About April, May, I kind of started training there. He was open since January, and I finally got my schedule to where, we got it worked out, and we started training together, and it was just, we've been training since, and it's been awesome. He just had a couple shows he did, and he ended up winning the first one in the overall Bob Johnson show, and then he did the Texas State and placed pretty well. I think sixth place at the Texas State, and I mean, he's definitely, I inspire him, he inspired me. We push each other through the hard times, and that's kind of what a good training partner is about, the gym is really what definitely kind of one of the deciding factors of I would have to say, helped me put on some more muscle this year, really brought my intensity to a new level training-wise, just with the loud music, the real weights, and, just you could yell and use chalk. I mean, it's an incredible gym. He's done a great job with it, and we're actually holding an event down there December 12th, because I'm sponsored by Universal, and they have the Animal Barbell Club events, and we're kind of putting on a little year celebration, birthday bash for the gym, and a little animal kind of event too. So there's a lot of stuff that Greg's got planned for the gym, and he's real proactive. So I mean, it's real good kind of having a second home like that.
Now that's Metroflex Plano, right?
Right, yeah. Right.
Only one problem with that one. There's only one problem with that one.
What's that?
It's not dirty enough.
It's not yet. It's not.
You don't quite need any tetanus shots or any vaccinations prior to the training there.
Yeah, the other one, the Brian's is just so nice and dirty. I love it in there.
I don't like it. It's too dirty for me.
I like it, man. When you leave a gym like that, you got to be filthy dirty. You got to be covered in brown rust and dust and sweat.
You can't wear anything white to that gym because it will not be white when you leave. And everybody's got to train there at least once. I just tell them, you got to train there once because it's definitely a legendary gym. And, with Ronnie training there, Mr. Olympia, it's kind of notorious for being the hardest core gym around. And it's definitely cool, to do it day in and day out, I don't know.
Yeah. Not only can you not wear anything white, you can't even wear contact lenses there. I had to clean them out after I left it. It was like rust particles on them. It was terrible.
The day I trained there was the day after Ronnie's show. And of course, Brian brought all of his, weights to for the pump up area. So when I was there, they had the trucks backed up to the door there, and they were unloading the stuff back in, and they're just moving the shit in and out. It was just kicking up dust clouds. Every time they dropped something, it was like, oh my God. But there was an experience.
God forbid they vacuum before they put the stuff back
there. No, it'll wreck it. You don't want to do that. You want to leave it dirty.
I don't know about that.
It's hardcore, man.
Fire and asbestos going everywhere.
Exactly. <you know. laughs> Let's see what Ronnie's lungs look like in 10 years from now.
Now, who are you sponsored by, Steve?
Universal Nutrition.
Animal Packs.
I'm on the Universal side of the company. Because they're really trying to promote the Universal products. It's been kind of mainstream, but underneath the animal, and they're really pushing the Universal side now to kind of like an old school kind of. You start seeing their ads; they're starting to come out with it. The real, they show a lot of like old school type gym pictures, and we actually did a photo shoot kind of with some old school type you know, Converse All Stars, real short gym shorts, and kind of like the sweatshirts, kind of like
Brian Moss pictures, yeah.
yeah, pretty much how they train back in the, you know, Arnold days. That's kind of what they're emulating, and it's a really cool, you know, marketing scheme, and they, you know, I couldn't be happier being with such, you know, really great guys, and you know, and they really have, you know, really good products too. So it makes it, you know, kind of enjoyable to be able to help promote a company that has quality products.
Now, how do promoters get a hold of you for guest posings and seminars?
You know, I had a website really, you know, like back a couple of years ago, and I kind of neglected to keep it up, and
you lost your, you lost your URL, didn't you? All these guys did this.
Yeah, you know, I would have to, you know, I have a Facebook and a MySpace and stuff, but for the most part, God, you know, my
email. Have an email address? Give us your email address.
Yeah, it's just my first initial last name, just fcucolo@sbcglobal.net.
You know, you could always come on the RX Muscle site and start a thread, and you know, in our celebrity section, people get a hold of you there.
Yeah. You know, Greg and I always are you know, kind of reading on there, and you know, your site looks really good, Dave. I'm you know, it's really definitely a great site. You know, a lot of good positive information and good positive people, which, you know, a lot of those forums, you know, get a little crazy sometimes, but it's cool.
Well, Steve, you got less than 3 weeks to go. Best of luck, and you know, I think that you're gonna do real well in that super heavyweight class. I have a good feeling about it.
I really appreciate it. You know, I'm definitely, you know, gonna have no regrets of not saying, yeah, I didn't work hard enough. You know, and I hope everything works out. You know, I'm just looking forward to having a good time, and bringing my best, and you know, that's all I could hope for. You know, so.
Sounds great. We're going to get you in the Iron Asylum. We're going to be doing one of those with you, too. I'm just waiting to receive it, and I think people are going to really get even a better idea about how you train, so that should be fun.
Cool. Well, I appreciate everything you guys have me on here, and, you know, picking me out of the ton of great guys out there, so I really appreciate it. You guys are awesome.
This is Heavy Muscle Radio, only on RXMuscle.com.
ALR Industries. ALR Industries products are backed by 3 decades of experience in the science and lifelong dedication to bodybuilding from its founder, Arthur L. Ray. In 2001, ALR Industries was created to give the hardcore bodybuilder the edge you need to build the perfect beast. Hyperdrive 3.0 is a synergistic blend of fat-burning herbs which yields the most potent legally available formula on the market today. Hyperdrive 3.0 will burn fat, control your appetite, improve your mood and focus, and give you an energy boost you've never experienced. Restore blocks estrogen, enhances libido, and optimizes free testosterone. You'll be stronger, recover faster, and build muscle like never before. Then, fuel your workouts with the great-tasting and energy-enhancing Hyper Shot. Hyper Shot will boost your athletic performance to new levels, allowing you to train harder, improve your endurance, and get the most out of your time in the gym. Whining is not an option for those who refuse to accept mediocrity. Visit ALRIndustries.com today.
When you hit the gym, you set in motion a fundamental set of molecular activation signals and cellular growth mechanisms that deliver your desired gains in mass and strength. The magnitude of those processes, as well as how efficiently your muscles recover force production, can dramatically affect your net progress in a training cycle. Progenics protein supplements interact precisely and powerfully to amplify these pathways to produce enhanced growth responses of 100% or more compared to conventional whey protein sources. And they facilitate full recovery of force production in just 6 hours following the most grueling workout, allowing you to train harder, more frequently, for more dramatic gains. Experience the exclusive metabolic advantage available from Nature's Toolbox and Dr. Scott Connolly, renowned pioneer in applied dairy science and inventor of the original Metrex product. Go to ProgenicsSRG.com and use the code NBR801 to get 10% off the purchase of any single Progenics product.
When the world crumbles around you, will you be ready to fight back? Brutal Alchemy Performance Nutrition's unique line of supplements will help you win the war in the gym. Ancient Strength is a unique blend of 3 creatine esters which will infuse you with the ancient strength needed for the battle at hand. Isolation is a pure whey protein isolate that provides 26 grams of protein in every 29-gram scoop. Attack NO2 is Brutal Alchemy's nitric oxide booster that will increase your pumps and performance. After your battle in the gym.
gym, it's time for Onslaught, Brutal Alchemy's comprehensive post-workout drink, providing everything you need to suffuse your muscles, joints, and body with the components to heal, grow stronger, and return to the fray. And when it's time to conquer in the bedroom, you'll need Forged Steel, Brutal Alchemy's male enhancement product. Lead the charge to BrutalAlchemy.com to obtain the essential elements of your brutal transformation. Brutal Alchemy, it's better to be a member of the Horde than to be destroyed by it. German American Technologies. Compete harder with GATT supplements. Need energy? Gotta lose the fat? Jet Fuel is the answer. Want to build muscle? Use Testogen to ramp up testosterone and start adding the size. How about some muscle exploding pumps and an enhanced training experience? You gotta get your hands on some Jet Fuel. GATT's newest nitric oxide training supplement that's guaranteed to work the second you try it. Join the team. Visit German American Technologies website now at TeamGAT.com. That's TeamGAT.com. German American Technologies. Compete harder. TeamGAT.com.
Get in D-Mix. That's D-Mix, the world's first energy pump that combines the most essential nutritional elements for overall health with efficiency. Cool and easy to use. D-Mix is the most powerful and unique multivitamin antioxidant energy formula on the market. D-Mix is a nutritional wonder that lasts up to 4 days. D-Mix is available in three delicious flavors: coffee, mint, and punch. Each flavor is designed to be taken on its own or added to other beverages. D-Mix. Don't drink. Just pump. Healthy energy.
Who are the Iron Sirens? The heroes: Susie Curry, Adela Garcia, Jenny Lynn, Crystal Richardson. Who are the Dark Divas? Gina Aliotti as Diva X, Jen Gates as Shade, Liza Kamstra as Black Lotus, Sonia Gonzalez as Raptress, and their story is told only in Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens is a one-of-a-kind, limited-edition comic book series and is the brainchild of J.M. Mannion. Order your copy of Iron Sirens today before they're gone. Visit IronSirensComics.com. That's IronSirensComics.com to get your copy of Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens. RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up to the minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
Heavy Muscle Radio.
Hey, this is the Game, Triple H from the WWE. You're listening to Heavy Muscle Radio with John Romano and Dave Palumbo.
This hour of Heavy Muscle Radio is brought to you by Progenix. Visit ProgenixSRG.com.
I'd like to welcome back to the show our next guest, who just finished fourth at the 2009 Mr. Olympia 202. He's now preparing for the November 7th Sacramento Pro in the open class. And the man I'm talking about, of course, is Mark Dugdale. Welcome.
Hey, Dave. How are you?
Welcome back. Now, you've had a good year so far. You were second at the Pittsburgh Pro 202. Then you finished second again at the New York Pro 202. You beat David Henry in the process. And then you finished, obviously, fourth at the Mr. Olympia 202. Now, I remember originally you were very reluctant to go down into that class. Were you happy you changed your mind?
I was reluctant, I guess, because to me, bodybuilding is all about, you know, putting on muscle, which usually means getting heavier. And so I wasn't real sure if I could get down to the 202 cutoff weight. And so that was kind of my reluctance. But, you know, after doing the Pittsburgh and the New York, I was pretty happy that, you know, I felt like I was in contention, and going into the Olympia, I had a shot at, you know, potentially winning it. And, and so, you know, I was definitely sold on the 202, but then, you know, at the Olympia, I ended up, you know, I missed weight. I was like 203 and a half or something like that at the first weigh-in, and so I had to go use the bathroom and come back and try it again, and I just made it at 202, and then, you know, most people said I was in, you know, pretty good condition at the 202 Olympia.
Very good condition.
And so, you know, based on that, it's like, well, I barely made weight. I was as lean as I could have been. The only other way of improving to improve upon a fourth place finish to me is, you know, putting on more muscle. I mean, I can't move it from one body part to another and not gain weight.
True.
You know, it doesn't work like that. So, you know, I guess long story short, in the spring I was pretty stoked about the 202, and now I'm kind of like, I'm kind of stuck again. I feel like between can't really improve a whole lot in the 202, but then, you know, the open, these guys are so much bigger. So,
well, you're right. You're kind of like at that cutoff. You know, some of these guys, I was talking to Jose Raymond yesterday, and he still has like 8 more pounds he can grow into that class. And so for him, he's psyched. You know, he's got something to aspire to. I guess you kind of feel like you kind of tapped out. Is that the point?
Yeah. I mean, for those guys, like you said, like Jose, or, you know, even the Daryl G, the guy that,
sure,
that won as a middleweight to get into the pros, you know, for those guys, I'd be like totally stoked because, you know, they can keep growing and, you know, grow into that weight class. But for me, I kind of feel, you know, not real sure how much more I could improve staying at 202. I definitely, you know, agree with most people saying that I got to come in shredded and, you know, a lighter body weight typically looks better with my physique. But, yeah, where I go from here, I'm not sure. I'm excited about the Sacramento, you know, because I don't have to step on the scale, which was a big stress for me all the way going into the Olympia. I wasn't sure if I was going to make it, but
it's been a long time you've been dieting, though. Are you burnt on this already?
I'm burnt the hell out.
You sound burnt, Mark. You sound like toast.
Yeah, I mean, actually, my wife's probably more burnt out than I am. Yeah, I mean, it takes a toll. I mean, I probably did one or two shows a year, you know, in the past. And, you know, if you go back all the way to August of last year, I did the Tampa, then the Europa, then I did the Ironman, and then I did the Pittsburgh and New York, and then the Olympia, and now the Sacramento. So,
all year.
Yeah, all year.
It's been
over a year. Now, you know, the good news is, you know, as far as 202 goes, I mean, you did beat David Henry. I mean, that's nothing to laugh at. You beat him in New York when you took second. With that in mind, do you think you should have placed higher at the Olympia?
You know, I mean, there's two ways of looking at it. One, after prejudging the way the callouts went, I knew the best I could do was third because just, you know, they brought David and Kevin back out at the end and didn't compare me or Eduardo to him, so, or to those two. So I knew the very best, you know, that I could have placed was third. That being said, you know, a lot of people said that they thought I should have been, you know, right up there contending to win. So, I mean, it's tough. I mean, I don't want to take anything away from Kevin or David or Eduardo. I mean, they're all great competitors and, you know, we all have a little bit different look, especially, you know, Kevin versus the rest of us, just has a little different physique. So it's kind of like one of those things where, you know, it's not a race where whoever crosses the finish line first, you know, who won type of thing. So there's always going to be opinions. And, you know, if you can't live with the subjectivity that sometimes comes with bodybuilding, then, you know, take up bowling or something. But
now, I'm assuming that the motivation, obviously, behind doing the Sacramento is to test out, you know, what you would do against some of these open guys and possibly qualify for the Olympia for next year. Am I correct?
Yeah, I mean, my original thinking, honestly, was it was about the time of the contract deadline for the 202, and I was, like, sitting at around 220 pounds, and I'm not super into body fat percentages, but I seem to be pretty close to about 5%, and so I was thinking, you know, do I call Robin up and say, hey, I want to pull my contract and not do the 202, but I didn't really want to, that didn't feel right either, because I was still like, you know, 10, 12 weeks out or whatever. And so shortly after that, I saw the Sacramento, so I kind of signed up for that thinking, hey, if I don't make weight at the Olympia.
Well, that was going to be my next question, Mark. Are you, for 2010, are you going to stay 202 or are you going to go back to the open? I mean, are you just, you sound like you're just feeling too restricted in the 202 class, like you can't grow to improve your physique.
I mean, if I had the opportunity to write the script for this next year, you know, I would qualify for the Open at the Sacramento, and I would train all year for the Olympia and try and come in just as good a condition but a little bit bigger, and go that route. If I don't qualify, I'm not 100% sure. I still think I'm going to take, you know, a fair amount of 2010 off and do a later show. Will it be a 202? I'll probably kind of, you know, play it by ear and see what I weigh and see how I'm looking. Because, like I said, I just don't feel like I can improve a whole lot in the 202 right. class. And yet, at the same time, I mean, I'm not that delusional to think that I'm going to win the Mr. Olympia Open
It's interesting to see the differences because, you know, I train here at the same gym where Kevin English is, and you know, he looks like he weighs about 260 right now. You know, so
I heard that he gets really big.
He's huge. It's like unbelievable to think that this guy, when you look at him and you think, God, he's 202 on stage. It's just, it's mind boggling.
I don't think he's going to drop down next year. I have a feeling he's going to go up to the Open.
Oh, really?
I think
you know,
so.
I had heard that, but then I thought I'd also heard that he was going to stay in the 202, which to me, if, you know, he really gets as big as everyone says, I mean, it seems like he'd be eating up a lot of muscle.
Yeah, he has to.
And there could be a better payday for him even in the Open, you know.
Yeah, so. You're right, because sometimes the payday for like fourth place in the Open is more than the 202 a winner gets.
Oh, absolutely.
Especially the Olympia. Now, I mean, when you look at guys like Silvio Samuel, who won a few pro shows the last couple of years, I mean, you're probably in the Silvio Samuel category in terms of, you know, how much you weigh and what you can do on stage. I mean, do you feel like that might be your calling, win some of the smaller shows, at least, in the Open?
You know, that would be great, honestly, for me. I mean, I'm kind of to the point to, you know, when I look at where do I go from here, because, like I said, 8 months ago, I thought my calling was the 202, and now I'm not so sure. I've kind of just got back to, you know what, when I come in shape and I like how I look, you know, the rest of it, who gives a crap how I placed, you know? So I just want to, I think for next year, I just want to find where I look my best, and if that's 210, if that's 202, you know, whatever that is, then that's where I will compete, and how I place, you know, I can't control it anyway, so who cares?
That's a good mindset to have, you know. Sometimes when you take that mindset, you wind up doing better than you think, too. So,
although as a competitor, I still get pissed, you know. I mean, I haven't won a show, be it a 202 or an Open, you know. I've been close, but haven't won a show, and, you know, as a competitor, I'm sure, like, you know, I mean, you want to win. So I didn't train to get fourth place in the Olympia, even though I was happy with how I looked.
Right. Well, I mean, but you must look at some of these shows, these pro shows, the smaller ones, and say to yourself, you know what, if I would have done that show, I probably could have won it. You know, sometimes you have to be lucky, too. You have to just be at the right place at the right time in the right show.
So. I totally agree with you. I mean, you never know who's going to jump in.
No.
And, yeah, so you can't really... You can't really base it on that.
I mean, Troy Alves won his first show this year. I mean, I don't think he thought that was going to happen.
Yeah, that was pretty cool for him.
Now, what did you think of the placings at the Mr. Olympia? Did you think that Jay was the rightful winner?
Absolutely. I mean, to me, it was hands down.
Yeah. What about Branch beating Dexter? What did you think of that?
I'll be honest with you. I mean, and this has nothing to do with personalities.
Sure.
Branch's physique, I've never been a huge fan of, just because he wasn't super symmetrical. And I didn't go to prejudging, but I was asking some photographers, you know, how did they think the guy's placed? And some people had Branch in second, and I was like, are you serious? I mean, especially when you consider, you know, the Phil Heaths and the Dexters that got just incredible symmetry. I was like, are you serious? And they showed me some pictures on their cameras, and I was blown away. Like, Branch looked so good. And typically where I feel like he doesn't flow real well. I mean, I don't know if he just had gotten bigger or was fuller or was leaner or all of the above. But he was like, I mean, back double arm bicep from the pictures I had seen. I mean, he was taking it to these guys that I would have normally said have much better symmetry than him. So I think it was a total, you know, totally deserved on his part to get second. And I thought he looked his all-time best.
That's coming from another competitor, too, so that's pretty good. What'd you think of Kai finishing fourth and Phil in fifth? Is that surprising?
Phil was definitely a surprise, although not after I had talked to him, you know, because he had told me about how he had gotten sick. Even before the finals, I had talked to him on the phone, and he'd mentioned it. And I know how that goes. I've been sick at shows before, too. And, you know, it sucks when you, especially for him, you put in the whole year, you know, and then to have the rug pulled out from under you at the last minute, kind of. But he's young, and, I mean, he's got everything going for him, and he'll be back. I mean, he'll be contending for the title for sure. Kai, you know, I didn't see a whole lot of, you know, the top five guys.
Sure.
I absolutely love Kai's physique. I mean, I was just, when I saw him at the Arnold when he won, I was just totally blown away. I mean, the shape, you know, that he brings, and yet the conditioning and the size, I mean, the guy is incredible. I mean, aside from, you know, his personal story, which I think is totally inspiring, the guy definitely has potential on the stage. So,
Mark, I want to talk about your training for a second, because, you know, I'm a big hit advocate, and I know you were training, you know, with Dorian Yates using the hit style. And I was wondering if you had changed back to volume because you were trying to do 202 and hit just made you too big.
I changed away from hit a bit more just due to injuries, and my body just felt like I was taking a beating and couldn't, you know, you can only lift so heavy and so intensely.
When we say hit, we mean high intensity training, just for those people out there. Yeah.
Right. And so I kind of gone, you know, to more volume just because of that. But then also, yeah, getting ready for the 202 Olympia, you know, I was like, well, I don't want to put on any weight after the New York. And so, I mean, I did stuff that was totally, you know, it was bodybuilding blasphemy. If you asked me a year or so ago, I mean, I did like 2 days a week. I did full body circuit workouts with like 15 to 20 reps. And then I only had two heavy lifting days, and I didn't do any direct arm work or shoulder work. Everything was, you know, chest, back, quads, hams. I did like two sessions of like 30-minute steady state cardio a week, and everything else I did was, I guess, high intensity type stuff. I went to a track and did wind sprints.
Really? Why, you were that big that you had to get that size off you?
You know, I started doing the exact same thing I did when I got ready for the Pittsburgh and the New York, and I was 2 weeks in with my diet and my training, and I was like, this sucks. I've done this for too long. I'm mentally, there's no way I'm going to make it. And so that's why I totally redid my training. I redid my diet. As you know, Dave, I actually emailed you because I went into this, I don't know if you want to call it a ketogenic diet. I mean, honestly, I didn't know anything about that type of stuff, but I went super low carb.
Right.
And, you know, I'd emailed you and said, you know, how much should I carb up, you know, once a week? Is it a meal? Is it a day?
Yeah.
And actually, that diet just worked awesome for me. I mean, I felt so much better. I mean, obviously, I don't handle carbs well, and so when I keep them out of the diet, you know, there's not all the swings.
This is the most shredded I've ever seen you, I think. I mean, your glutes were, like, ridiculous looking, you know.
Not that we were looking.
Not that we were checking the glutes out too much. You know? Other people might have been.
Yeah, yeah. One guy in particular.
Getting back to volume training. So are you still doing the volume, or did you go back to the more high intensity type stuff?
I've pretty much done, you know, stuck with what I did getting ready for the Olympia. Changed up a few things, but I don't know. I guess the one thing I've learned, I guess, over the last year, which you'd think as long as I've been competing and training, I would know it all by now, but obviously I didn't. It's just you got to change stuff up, you know. You can't do high-intensity training for 10 years. You
No.
can't do volume training for 10 years. And so, you know, especially the longer you train and, you know, the more mature your physique gets, to get that extra edge and improvement, you got to shock the system. And be it volume, be it tempo, be it whatever, you know, you can't fall into a rut of doing the same thing all the time.
I agree. Now, the most important question I'll probably ask you of the whole interview is coming up now.
Okay, good.
And that's, what's with the new buzzed clean haircut you have? You had, like, one of the best haircuts in the business before that.
You know, I felt like I was starting to be a faker with it receding on me. I didn't want to be one of those comb-over guys. No, it was funny because my wife, Christina, was like, oh, I wish you'd shave your head. And I was like, nah. I don't know how well that'll go over. And then I ended up doing a photo shoot after the Ironman this last February for a clothing line called Better Bodies, and they threw out the idea that, hey, we want a little more rougher look, do you mind shaving your head? And so I was like, oh, that's a good excuse to make my wife happy. So I did it, and it's too easy, Dave. I can't go back.
you're a good looking guy. You can pull off anything pretty much. So it doesn't really. You could probably go bald even, and you'd be fine. But yeah, you always had that stereotypical Mark Dugdale haircut everyone expected. And were people shocked when you first did it?
A little bit. My mom can't stand it.
No,
she thinks it makes me look like I'm 15 years older, which means she's 15 years older. But my wife can't keep her hands off me, so you know what? That's all that matters.
That's right. That's true. It's like she's got another guy now, right?
Right. To get yeah.
You traded in the old one.
I try not to put her in too many chokeholds either. So.
Okay. Not too many.
That's the question I always get asked now. Are you in the UFC?
Yeah, you do look a little UFC-ish. Yeah.
You need a few tattoos.
Yeah.
Just don't do those, what Flex Wheeler did to his arms. Yeah.
Don't go overboard. A couple of well-placed ones will do you good.
I can't tattoo my face like Lee Priest.
No, I think you'll definitely ruin your whole rep.
or like tattoo Timmy.
Yeah. Now, what's going on with your kids? I know your daughter's got to be getting older now, huh?
Yeah, my oldest will actually be 11 in December, and we just had a big Halloween party this last Saturday and did that whole thing. And
you dress up?
I did. I was Popeye.
Especially now with the shaved head, you're right.
Christina was olive oil, and it was a good time. We ended up having probably 20 people from our gym come over, and everybody dresses up. And
that's cool. You should have videoed it like we did.
Suffer through. Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know if you watched our little Halloween video we put up on RX Muscle.
I saw some pics up. I think.
No, you got to see the video.
You got to watch the video. It's hard to pretty much give it justice unless you watch it.
So how is it I have a son who's 10, and you know I know as well as I try to get him to eat, he's still a kid. You have that times three. How do you diet with three little girls in the house?
You know, it's pretty crazy. I mean, obviously they're totally into their carbs, but
yeah,
they eat really good. I mean, they like love broccoli and Brussels sprouts, and Christina makes homemade soup and stuff all the time. And it's funny, they'll bring kids from school home and they won't want to touch anything that we have for dinner, and our kids are like, oh, more salad. So I think it's just, you know, if you give them, if you have the junk food around all the time and that's all they're used to, then that's all they're going to want to eat. But my kids, I guess from an early age, got stuck with a quasi bodybuilding diet, and so they love their vegetables.
Well, that's good.
See, John, your son's spoiled. That's
well, no,
promise.
He gets both. I mean, he you know, he eats salad and broccoli, and
he does.
Know,
I never see.
Oh
him
yeah, no, he all the time. He eats good all the time. But he also, he's 10. He gets to eat. You know, his metabolism's raging. He gets to eat. You know, chips and you know, the Halloween last night, he came home with 15 pounds of candy in a pillowcase. He just sat there all night eating it.
Oh, yeah. My girls are always good, though, to tell me that it tastes disgusting when I'm dieting.
That's good.
Yeah, you don't want any of this, Dad. It's horrible.
They must love their daddy. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Now, how can people get in touch with you, Mark, for like guest posing seminars? I know you have a new video out, right? You have a website?
Yeah, it's markdugdale.com. In fact, I think it's actually down.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was trying to go on it today and get some new questions for you. You know, it was not loading.
Something up with the server, so I think it should be back up in another day or two. But that's the best way. You can email me through there. And actually, Christina and I are going to Sweden for a fitness festival in December.
Cool.
And tacking on about 5 days to go to Italy, because she's always wanted to do that.
Very nice.
So should be a good time.
What nationality are you?
Yeah, my dad's mainly German and English. Dugdale's an English last name, and my mom is Spanish.
Oh, really? Because you look very Italian to me. You know, I always thought you were Italian, but then I knew Dugdale was not an Italian name.
Yeah, my wife's Greek and Armenian, and every time we're around the Greeks or the Armenians, they all start speaking to me because they think that I'm Greek or Armenian. But.
Yeah, he looks a little Armenian.
You could fit right in. We got to let this guy go, Dave.
Everyone always said, you know, you and your wife look so good together, and you look like you could be brother and sister. And so I just always used to say, well, we were before we were husband and wife.
incest is best,
yeah,
right?
That's Joe? Right.
Oh, boy. Well, Mark, good luck next week at the Sacramento Pro. Hopefully you'll make that top three and qualify for the Olympia, and maybe we'll see you in some open competitions next year.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
All right. Well, John, Mark sounds like his head is in a pretty good place. You know, he obviously is frustrated with the 202 class. He never really wanted to go down to it. I think he did it out of people kind of forcing him into it, essentially, or peer pressuring him into it. He did very well, obviously. So, I mean, he can't really complain. But, you know, Mark is a bodybuilder by nature. He wants to get bigger. He wants to make improvements to his physique. And I don't blame him. Even if he has to compete as a 215-pound, bodybuilder in the open division, at least he's got the ability to make the changes in his physique that make him at least happy about the way he looks.
Hey, 215 is bigger than Sean Ray's whole entire career.
Yeah,
so. Well,
Sean was very short too, though.
Yeah, well, so. Anyway, you made the comment, the comparison to Silvio Samuel, and puts Mark Dugdale in sort of that same kind of cutoff category as Silvio. And I remember when Silvio did the 202, but I think, what wasn't it, the 210 when he did it?
It was 210, yeah. He had trouble making
and
it.
And I asked him that, and he said, I will never go down that low again ever in my entire life. And just listening to Mark on the phone and hearing how just burnt he sounded, I would imagine that if he has an opportunity to go into the Open, if he does well in Sacramento and qualifies, I think this will be a pivotal point for him, because it just sounds to me like he needs to be, you know, in that 215, 220 range for him to be happy.
Well, you got to remember, this is a guy who plays second at the Ironman one year. So, you know, behind Tony Freeman, he's placed in the open division before. I think what happened was he just wasn't coming in shredded in that open division, at least the last 2 years. And then when someone suggested he go down to 202, he had to get back in his best shape because he couldn't make the weight otherwise.
Right.
So if he can keep the mindset that he has to be as polished and as shredded as he was as a 202 guy, but come in at 215, he's a dangerous competitor, even in the Open. Maybe not at the Arnold and the Olympia, but in these other competitions, he could win a pro show here and there. He's as good as a Troy Alves. And, I think that would give Mark something to aspire to. I think he's going to do very well this week. And he'll, in my mind, he's going to be top three. I think that he's a perfectionist, and I think he'll be at his best. Having said that, Steve Kuklo is a great guest too. You know, I always wanted to get this guy on the show. He's a young new talent. He just turned 24. He reminds me of like a young Evan Santapani, and I expect good things. I don't know if he's going to win this year because it's a very tough class. But if he does, don't be surprised.
Yeah, no, he could. He's definitely put on a lot of mass in the last couple of years. He's got some maturity now, and he's got some some stage presence he's developed, and I think he could do some damage.
And he'll definitely have the best cheering section.
In the place. His mom screams.
His mom and all his family members, you know. So, Steve's a good kid too, and I'm looking forward to doing this in the asylum training with him prior to the Nationals. So, everyone should look for that. And you know, John, I think we're out of time here, but I just want to thank Dr. Scott Conley. You know, him and I talk every day on the via computer. We email each other a lot. I always send him a lot of these bullshit, like ketogenic type diet articles that come out, or all these things put out by the government saying that kids should be eating more cereal and grains and stuff like that. And he's so funny because he's always like, it's a crock of bullshit.
Fires him up.
What he does is he always asks me, he's like, do these people even read the articles that they base these newspaper reportings on? And he always breaks them down very scientifically. So
studies show that Colombians don't get enough carbs for the ears and forehead. It's university proven.
It is a well known fact, that's for sure.
Weren't you killed last week?
I had more carbs. I resurrected myself.
Yeah, the carb guys, they just keep regenerating, coming back for more. So, you know, Conley will be on the show and probably in another week or so, because I got a lot of stuff to talk to him about. I like when he debunks some of these articles that come out in the newspapers and stuff like that. So, let me just say I want to thank our guests for today, Mark Dugdale and Steve Kuklo, for stopping by. Until next week, remember, with Heavy Muscle Radio, the truth hurts.
Heavy Muscle Radio is a presentation of RxMuscle.com. The truth in bodybuilding. Tune in next week at the same time for another round with Dave Palumbo and John Romano. Only on Heavy Muscle Radio.